Your Bibles, if you will, this morning into 2 Chronicles chapter number 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 19. We'd like to thank our visitors for being with us today, and we've seen several this morning, and it's an honor to have you with us, and trust that you've been blessed in the service already. I love the little ones being a part of the service. Sometimes we throw them out to just Sunday school or when there's nobody around, because we're ashamed of them, or I don't know what it is, why they do that, but, you know, if we don't let them be a part of the worship service when they're little, we don't understand why they don't want to be a part of the worship service when they get older. And I hope the little ones bless you in their singing and their zeal for the Lord this morning, and trust the other songs have been a blessing to you. And truly pray for Sister Sherry as she's down there dealing with things. Her father's got terminal cancer, and he's dealing with that, and then he's had several strokes and everything on top of that, and they've had to stop his chemo because of the strokes that he's had, and she's just dealing with a lot. And I tell you what, she needs the help that prayer can bring. Amen. And I'm glad we can pray for one another. And how many are hot? Nobody sees folks. I see a few folks looking at the fans, but nobody's hot. Okay, if you found, well, you don't count. There's only one of you. No, it's all right. If we need fans, we can turn that. They turn some fans on. All right. If you have found 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able to stand. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 19, verse number 1, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, that thou hast, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? We see the account of Jehoshaphat as he returns from the battle of Ramoth-Gilead, as he went with Ahab there to withstand the Assyrian army as they were beginning to attack and were poised to overrun and override Israel. Now you need to understand at this point, Israel, as we know, a nation has divided. There's two separate countries. There's the northern kingdom, which is Israel, and they are ungodly in everything that they do. Their kings are ungodly. Their practices are ungodly. Everything that they do seems to go contrary to what God has instructed them and what God has told them needs to be done. As the prophets prophesy before them, they either imprison or they persecute the prophets. As the man of God tries to bring truth and tries to bring help to them, they reject it and they refuse it and they fight and go everything, doing everything that they can against what is right. And then there's the southern kingdom of Judah, which is the second kingdom. And for the most part, they have kings that are good, kings that try to do right. And every now and then, there's one that gets thrown in the mix that isn't quite as good, isn't quite as up to par as what the others are. So you're going to see here, as we preach this morning, there's a divided nation. There's a divided kingdom that has been divided because of sin. Amen. And I tell you what, that's what divides us today. That's what separates the church of the living God from the rest of the world. That's what separates the church of the living God from the false religions and false doctrines that are taught is sin. We even in our Christian denomination, nations have people arguing and people striving and people are dealing with who has the best way to sin and get away with it. We was talking about this in our adult Sunday school class. Most of the problems you see when you look at God's Word in doctrinal divisions in churches, it's not because they're trying to be right. They're trying to find out who has the best way to be wrong and act like it's right. Can I get an amen? Amen. Everybody wants to know who has the best way to sin and get away with it. The Bible is plain in its teaching. We're to get saved. And once we get saved, we're to strive to be more like Him. We're to follow in the Master's steps. We're to walk that straight and narrow path that leads to life and to hope. And that's where we are to be, and that's where we are to stay. But we have so many that want to go contrary, just like they did in Jehoshaphat's day, just like they did in Israel and Judah. Folks were fighting and folks were torn between which way's the right way to go. If you're ever wondering and you ever question what is the right way, get in the Word and find out what's God's way, and you'll have no problem. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And we see Jehoshaphat now is right in the midst of this. And the reason that I want you to distinguish between these two kingdoms is because in this account that we're going to be preaching about in Jehoshaphat today, there's going to be some names that sound the same. And there's a reason for that. When you get into a family and you begin to marry into a family, what happens? You see names that are common and names begin to be shared. And when you compromise and when you allow things to happen in your spiritual life, you're going to find out that some things begin to creep into your life and begin to creep into your family and to begin to creep into your home that you hadn't considered was going to wind up there. So we see a lot of names that are going to be common between Jehoshaphat and Ahab's family. And we see Jehoshaphat has just come back, as we said, from the battle of Ramoth-Gilead. He was someplace where he shouldn't have been doing what he had no business of doing. Now he no doubt reasoned that he needed to be there. Let me go back and qualify this for you so that you can understand. Here is Ahab, a wicked, wicked man, a wicked, wicked king, and he's the king of Israel. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat have become buddies. They've become friends. They've made affinity, the Bible says, with one another. I'll read you the scripture here in a few moments. Ahab is in problems. He's got the king of Syria is at his doorstep and at his back door, and he's waiting to pounce. He's waiting to come in. He's waiting to destroy. And Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to join with him in fighting. Now, as Jehoshaphat looks at Ahab's situation, he can no doubt say and begin to reason, well, you know, this can have an effect on me as well. You know, these are, after all, the people of God. God never stopped calling Israel His people. He never stops calling sinners. Amen. Aren't you glad God just deals with sinners? He don't stop dealing with sinners. And he will knock at your door. He will come your way. And he will offer you salvation until you utterly and completely just reject him. Amen. Hey, God doesn't reject you. You reject him. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And that's the way that he works. Ahab is in a problem. And Jehoshaphat's looking at the problem and says, well, after all, they are God's people. Amen. And maybe I need to go and I need to work with God's people. And then we see another practical side of his thought process and his argument. Well, if the Assyrian or if the Assyrian army is about to attack Israel, well, it won't be long before they're knocking at my door. They won't be long before they're here. So maybe I ought to go and I ought to help him just for the fact that it's going to work out for my best benefit. It's going to work out at the benefit of my country and my people in the long run. And then there's no doubt things that he went through his mind as he tried to reason out why he was going to do what he did. And he went and he did what he did. He joined forces with Ahab and And the Bible says he almost got killed. We'll touch on that in a few moments. And he come back. But when he come back, he was met by Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, the prophet, the man of God. Met him as he was coming back. He didn't meet him in secret. He met him as he was returning. He didn't meet him and counsel with him and talk to him in private. He met him as he returned unto the city. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord." I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. What do you think you're doing? Amen. What do you think you're doing? We so many times find ourselves just overlooking sin. We so many times find ourselves compromising to sin. We so many times find ourselves dabbling in sin, and we try to reason out in our mind a good reason to do it, and we get there and we find out that we get ourselves in all kinds of a mess, and then we're back looking to the man of God wanting to know how we got in such a mess. Well, he told you not to go there to begin with. Amen. What do you think you're doing? God sends the man of God to meet Jehoshaphat. What do you think you're doing? You're down there fooling with this bunch of ungodly people. You're down there fooling with this bunch of people that hate God. What do you think you're doing? And we look back and we read the Bible and say, well, they should have known better. And then we go and do the same thing. What do you think you're doing? Let me tell you something. You'll never dabble in sin and that not have an effect in your life. Amen. You'll never dabble with sin. You'll never compromise with sin. You'll never overlook sin that it don't come back to haunt you and to bite you somewhere that you don't want to be bit. When the devil gets his fangs in you, he wants to be tenacious. He wants to destroy you like a lion, and he will tear you down. Look at the danger in overlooking sin. The Bible said in chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, the king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Do you hear what Jehoshaphat just said? He said, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. Now, do you realize who he's talking to here? In chapter 16 of 1 Kings, the Bible tells us some things about Ahab that we need to take note of. The Bible says in verse number 30, Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all the kings before him. And Jehoshaphat has just said, I am as thou art, and my people as thou, as thy people. He was more evil than all the kings that were before him. But yet Jehoshaphat wants to identify with him. Jehoshaphat wants to join in affinity with him, just like we do when we look in the world and we see things that are going on and we decide, well, that sin isn't quite so bad. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to participate. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to do just like they're doing. I'm going to go down there. Nobody, it's not going to hurt anybody anyway. What difference does it make? Because you begin to identify with those that you're hanging out with. Amen. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. Do you think dabbling with sin? Do you think compromising to the world's standards? Do you think looking like the world, acting like the world, and doing everything that the world does is going to be pleasing unto God? The Bible says when you start acting like Ahab, you're going to be just like Ahab, and you're going to provoke God to anger just like Ahab did. Amen? You can't dabble, and you can't deal, and you can't fool with sin and not have an effect upon you. 1 Kings 21:25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. I tell you what, Ahab put the dog on, man. Jehoshaphat come down. He killed and he slew the animals. He put a feast on and he had a party to make Jehoshaphat just feel right at home and welcome him right in. And that's just what the devil will do to you. He will welcome you right in. He will make you feel like you're something, make you feel like you're somebody, and he will convince you to do something that you have no business of getting involved in. Amen. Amen. Every time. Every time. Jehoshaphat says, yeah, we'll go with you. Yeah, we'll be just like you, Ahab. Yeah, we'll be right there beside you. I bet, man, just look around. I'm going to be right there. But look up in chapter 18, verse 31. It says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Well, he said, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, when we will be with thee in war. The enemy looked, and they couldn't tell the difference. The enemy looked, they could make no distinguishing a contrast between the king of Israel and the king of Judah. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and the Lord moved them to depart from him. Here's a godly man that got himself into an ungodly predicament in an ungodly situation because he was willing to overlook the sin. He was willing to overlook the compromise. He was willing to overlook everything that Ahab stood for. And he identified with him. And it almost cost him his life. Friend, when you dabble in sin, when you compromise with sin, when you play with the devil, you are in danger. It was only by the grace of God that Jehoshaphat was delivered. They would certainly have killed him, certainly have thought, well, we've got the king of Israel. They couldn't tell the difference. You want to lay with the pigs? You're going to smell like a pig. Amen. Hey, man. You want to lay with the dogs? You're going to get fleas. Hey, man. Looks like a duck. Walks like a duck, must be a duck. Amen? You can't dabble in sin and it not have an effect on your testimony and not have an effect on your life. They couldn't distinguish. And the man of God says, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're hanging out with this bunch. It's just like Brother Barry Spears when he told his kids to get away from that bunch of neighbor kids. Yeah, if y'all don't know Brother Barry, he's from down in South Carolina somewhere. But he had a bunch of neighbors that were just plumb heathens. Amen. And his kids weren't allowed to play with them because they were just sheer heathens. And he looked out one day and he seen his kids out there playing on the border lines of the property with this bunch of heathens that lived down near them, and he shouted out the door, get away from those Philistines. You know better. Get away. Get away. Stay away from Ahab. Stay away from that bunch. Man, they just disgust God. They make him sick. They worship idols. They had a form of godliness. Amen. But what they was worshiping wasn't the God of Israel. They were worshiping some calves that Jeroboam had built and had made. They were worshiping Baal, who was Ahab's wife's god that he built the groves to, that he was willing to compromise on, that he was willing to partake in. And now he's dragging everybody else into it with him. And now here's Jehoshaphat. As you read it in the Bible, you see that Jehoshaphat, for the most part, has a good report before God. But he has a problem, and he wants to dabble in sin. And God sends the man to ask him, "What are you doing? What are you doing, church? What are you doing? Individual, what are you doing? Hey man, what are you doing, Connie? What are you doing, Joe? What are you doing, Rick? Hey man, what are you doing, Gideon? You just showed up this morning to visit. I'm going to pick on him. Hey man, what are you doing? Hey man, what are you doing, Dennis? Hey man, what are you doing? We need to take an account of what we're doing. Because there's danger. Hey man, there's danger and dabbling in sin. Not only is there danger in it, there's destruction in it. If you turn in your Bibles over into chapter number 20, the Bible says, "And after this did Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made ships in Ezon-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dovada, a Masorah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish." You'll never prophesy. You'll never grow by compromising. A church, I told folks here years ago, I'd rather preach to three people in the pews of this church that have the Spirit of God, have a desire for God, and love God. I'd rather pastor them than a house full of people that have no time for God. I don't mind preaching to sinners. I'd rather preach to a house full of sinners than a house full of Christians any day. Amen. But I'm not going to compromise. And we can't compromise to profit. We can't compromise. Churches are all over the place. They're compromising so that they can grow. They're compromising because of numbers. They're compromising because they want to hear what they want to hear. They want their ears tickled. They're compromising for everything. Matter of fact, let me just share something with you. Every Sunday morning, Brother Steve Loy sends out a text message to myself and a few other preachers that we're good friends with. And he sends the text out, and it's a good text, and it's an encouragement and a prayer for preachers. But listen, just this week, I saw an article about churches and how people had unconfessed, unrepented sin in their lives and were uncomfortable there. Praise God, I hope if you got sin in your life and you come and you sit under my preaching, you're uncomfortable. If you don't get uncomfortable, I'm not doing my job. Amen. Amen. They then went on to tell how they found a place, and they call it a church in parentheses, where they could attend and not feel guilty. A place where love was taught and there was no condemnation. And he says the very same thing I do. If there is no condemnation for sin, why do we need love? If sin doesn't exist, why is there a need for a Savior? If there is no sin, why did God so love the world that He sent His only begotten Son? Because we were dead in our sins, in our trespasses. Amen. And churches don't want to hear about sin. Churches don't want to hear about repentance. Churches don't want to hear about compromise and dabbling in sin anymore. Churches want to hear what they want to hear. And if the preacher don't make you happy, we're not coming back. If the preacher's not going to say what we want him to say, we're not coming back. Sin is still sin, and sin will always be sin, and nothing you can do is going to change that. What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? You're going to destroy your testimony. Amen. You're going to destroy your families. You know how many families I have seen destroyed because people didn't want to sit in a Bible preaching church? They went on. I had folks left this church. And they told me, well, we went over here because they have an early service, and then we have the rest of the day to do whatever we want to do. They forgot one little part of the Word of God. Remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. Amen. This is His day. Right. It's not your day to do what you want to do. It's the Lord's day. They left here. They went to another church so they could have the rest of the day to do whatever they want to do. The next thing I know, they're down at the church that has the bar, the food bar in the middle, and the preacher has all the fancy lights, and they're saying all the neat things, and they're singing the 7-11 song, 7 words, and they just sing it 11 or 12 or 15 choruses of the same old thing over and over and over, and they call it worship because there's no condemnation of sin. There's no preaching about sin. There's no preaching about the destructive forces and the destructive nature of sin. Here old Jehoshaphat hadn't learned his lesson from the last time that he almost lost his life. And now he's back doing the same thing again. Ahab has died. Ahaziah, his son, is just as wicked as his daddy was. And here's Ahab in personification in his son. And Jehoshaphat's down there making agreements and making up terms with him and making deals to try to profit and to try to prosper. And praise God, God said it's not going to happen that way. Amen. It's not going to happen in compromise. It's not going to happen in dabbling in sin. Amen. Let me tell you what. I've seen families drug off and families compromising. We see the church as we know it today. It's slowly eking away. It's slowly fading away. Why is that? Because of compromise. Amen. People don't want to put God first. They want to put everything else first. They'd rather go compromise with the world. They'd rather go compromise with the compromising church. They'd rather go compromise somewhere else. And then they wonder why their kids grow up and they have no time for the Lord. Amen. Every family here, you can look around and you can see what's happening to your families. Amen. And you can say, well, I can't say that. Well, are you in the house of God every time the doors is open? Amen. Are you at the house of God every opportunity there is presented for you to be there? This is not love preaching. It is love preaching. But it's not the love preaching that people want to hear. Amen. God loves you. And somebody loves you enough to die for you. Amen. You ought to want to show up and just let him know that you love him too. Amen. Yeah, it's love preaching. But what in the world are you doing? Well, Pastor, we're not going to be here tonight. We're going here. Why? Ain't nothing more important than what's happening here. Amen. Pastor, we're not going to make revival meeting this week. We're going to be going here. Why? There's nothing more important than what's going to be happening here. Amen. Well, you know, Pastor, the kids got this, the kids got, well, what are you going to do when your kids no longer have time for God? They no longer want to listen to the Word of God. They no longer want to listen to the truth of God. And one day you have to bury a teenager. One day you have to bury a young adult because they've OD'd on drugs. Because they got out here and they got with the wrong crowd and they got to drinking because mom and dad would compromise and mom and dad weren't afraid to dabble in the things of sin just a little bit, thinking that it wouldn't matter and didn't realize the destruction that it would bring to their families and to their lives. And I know what I'm talking about because I've seen it time and time and time again. I'm as guilty of it as anybody else is. What do you think you're doing? Our families are destroyed. Our churches are destroyed. Our testimonies are destroyed. You know what people, when you try to witness to somebody now as a Christian, they just laugh at you. You know why? They've seen so many hypocrites, so many compromisers, so many backsliders that have ruined the testimony. You know, as a Christian, I carry the name of Christ. Amen. 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 And we've about made a mockery of it. The Bible says, can you take fire in your bosom and your clothes not be burned? There's a detrimental effect. Can you walk upon the hot coals and your feet not be burned? There's a detrimental effect. You say, well, it's not that big a deal. Paul says it is. 1 Corinthians 5, he says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leavening leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed. In other words, he says, a little sin. There's no such thing as a little sin. Amen. Amen. We think it's a little sin, but in the eyes of God, it's not. Sin is sin. And sin still brings condemnation. Not only is there danger in compromise and destruction in compromise, there's detrimental long-term effects. Look at this. Chapter 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat. And I'm not going to read them all. Go down to verse number 3. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers others also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. What difference does it make? Dad, you taught me to do that. Mom, you showed me that it didn't make no difference, that there was nothing wrong with it. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David. And he promised to give him a light to him and his sons forever. Look at the long-term effects that Jehoshaphat's compromising. He was a good man. The Bible says he was a good man. And God thought he was a good man, but there was times in Jehoshaphat's life when he was willing to compromise. When he was willing to turn his eyes to the sin when he thought it would benefit. Turn his eyes to the sin when he thought he could profit. Turn his eyes and turn his heart and turn his affection. And now his son has destroyed his family. Now his son has married Athaliah, Ahab's daughter, a wicked, wicked woman. And he was so wicked that after 8 years, God killed him with a horrible disease. Now, listen at this name. And his son, Ahaziah. This is Jehoshaphat's grandson. Who's he named after? What was Ahab's son's name that Jehoshaphat made a deal with to build ships? Ahaziah. Amen. Getting to where you can't tell the difference. It's got to where you can't tell one from the other. Why? because we're all in the same bed together. There's no difference. Compromise. Compromise and compromise in his father's life taught him that compromise was no big deal. And Jehoram died, and Ahaziah reigned in his stead. And the Bible says he was just as evil and just as wicked as his grandparents were. You see, Ahab was his granddaddy. And he did just like his granddaddy did. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, was sent by God to clean the house of Ahab and to remove it from Israel. We know that Ahab died in the battle of Ramoth-Gilead. We know that Jehu came and he cleaned house in Jezreel and Samaria, and he slew old Jezebel, and he slew the house of Ahab. And in the midst of this purge and in the midst of this cleaning, the son or the grandson of Jehoshaphat, the detrimental long-term effects of compromise, who was found in Jezreel, who was found down there with the compromise, just like his grandfather did, wound up getting killed himself. And not only that, his old wicked mother killed all his children except for one that had been stowed away. Folks, you will not dabble in sin. You will not compromise with sin that it will not have a detrimental, destructive, dangerous effect upon your life. Amen. Upon your family's lives. Upon your church. What do you think you're doing? Brother Jim and Sister Mary.